The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Once again this week, we're glad you're joining us. We're here every week at this time. We hope you'll join us every week. Joining us today on God Calling is Father Ron Wersch. Father is the pastor out at St. Joseph's in Avon Lake, my pastor, and a wonderful, wonderful parish. You got a lot going out there, Father.
I do, and I love it too.
In the bulletin, Father Ron's Corner every week. I love being your pastor.
Right.
And I think a lot of people love you being out there too. But let's talk about you. What was your call? You are a gourmet chef,
right?
Your degree is in accounting,
correct?
But
right.
as a young kid, and you grew up in Avon Lake,
I did.
Tell me about growing up in Avon Lake and your first inklings that maybe something was going on.
Right, as you said, Paul, I grew up in Avon Lake, and Avon Lake was a very diversified place. I grew up on Lear Road, very close to the Avon Bay Village border. And it was very rural, the little section I was in. I could ride my bike to the high school. I was took voice lessons and music lessons. I could ride my bike to that or swimming lessons. But for the most part, our life growing up, at least in the summer, was a lot around. My dad loved to garden, and we had a very big garden behind our house. I grew up on 2 acres of land. So I had really the best of both worlds, kind of a rural upbringing within a suburban setting. So, you know, most of my friends didn't have chickens like we did. Our neighbors had horses, we had chickens. But it was a great place to grow up and to really kind of gradually understand, you know, really the cycle of life, how plants need to be nurtured and watered, how, you know, when you have animals, especially whether it be horses, which I would tend to occasionally when our neighbors were on vacation, or our own chickens, sometimes we had rabbits that we were raising, you know, just that you had to water them regularly, feed them, let them out, you know, do those things. So we had a very disciplined life. As I joke with people, my mom and dad belong to St. Joseph when they're not snowbirding in Florida. But that cycle of you couldn't pretend that you hoed the garden. So when your dad asked you to do chores, you had your list and you were graded when he got home from work. Whether you did them appropriately or not.
So, and you were actually baptized at St. Joseph's.
I was, yes.
That's wonderful.
It is. It's really been a blessing to be back in my hometown. When I was leaving my second assignment to apply to St. Joseph, Father Tim O'Connor's desire to relinquish his pastoring there to move on was kind of a surprise, I think, to many people. And all my desire was is to move a little closer west. I was in Willowick at St. Mary Magdalene, which I loved. But I wanted to get closer to my mom and dad because they're getting older, so I could see them more regularly. And I ended up back at the church I was baptized.
Yeah, so that's wonderful.
That's good.
When did the inkling start for you?
You know, I remember we always went to church at Holy Spirit. My grandmother said to me once that she thought I would be a good priest because I was a good singer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I thought,
which you are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I remember thinking to my grandma, like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know, like, one doesn't become a priest because he is a good singer. But I would say that I got the call around my 23rd, 24th birthday in that general area.
So you were out of college by then.
I was, yes. So I was just had finished my accounting degree at Cleveland State and was in culinary school. Before that, I started working at Lakewood Country Club in Westlake, Ohio, when I was 16 years old. And I've always had a great interest in hospitality and service. I like the service industry. I like cooking. Once I got enough accounting under my belt, I actually started working in the club office and became the accountant there eventually. But that role there at the country club still allowed me to be involved, especially with club events, things that happen annually with members, because I knew them so well and they knew me so well. So I would say that I found that I was a little bit of a workaholic. And the way that I say it now, which I wasn't able to articulate this succinctly back then, but if I was going to give my life to something, I felt like it needed to be worthy of my life. And while serving people a fine dinner, whether it be me making it or serving it or being around an environment that allowed that to happen successfully, I really felt like my gifts were being nurtured in a more profound way. So, you know, there was a lot of soul searching, and I was back at my home parish one Lent, the Lent before I went into seminary, and we oftentimes as a family went to Mass on Wednesday nights during Lent. There was a special Wednesday night Mass during Lent, and there was a bulletin sitting right in the pew next to me about a vocation retreat at the seminary. So I opened it up, and I read it, and I really felt a call to investigate that. Mm-hmm. And so I went. I really didn't think they'd want me. So, you know, you have all these kind of strange impressions about who priests are and what seminary is going to be like. But I remember my host that greeted me, they paired you up with someone. His name was Mike. And I was just really impressed with him and the whole experience. So I came home, I told my mom and dad I went on a retreat, which they knew, and it wasn't really until I applied, was accepted, and like 2 weeks before I had to tell the club that I was leaving that I told my mom and dad, because I didn't know what they were going to think.
Uh-huh. What did they think?
They were very happy. My trepidation was because I've changed my mind so many times already. You know, I wanted to be a chef, and then changed my mind to that, and then I went to school for accounting. The club manager at the time really felt that my gifts were probably better suited for what we would describe in hospitality industry in the front of the house, more with the people. So I think because I had changed my mind so many times that I was a little worried that my parents would be disappointed that I changed my mind again. So sort of jokingly, as I was going through seminary and really feeling like this was something God wanted me to do, I reassured my mother by the time I was 30, I would actually be gainfully employed again. So so I think she appreciated that. I was ordained 3 weeks before my 30th birthday. I made it right under the wire.
That's perfect. Well, this sounds like a great preparation for being a pastor, being a priest, and we're going to talk about that when we come back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Stay with us. Father Ron Wersch is our guest on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Father is at St. Joseph's in Avon Lake, been there since 2013. Your expertise in the culinary industry and accounting does translate pretty well. You're serving people and you got to keep the books, and that's no small job at a fairly large parish.
Right.
I'm not sure. How many people are at St. Joseph's?
There is about 2,000 households, just a little shy of that. Not big enough to have a parochial vicar with us, unfortunately. And that calculates to about 6,000 people if everyone does show up at the same time that are on the books. But it's pretty big.
Yeah. Now, you were out at Mary Magdalene.
Correct.
I read something in the past, a co-pastor.
Correct.
I've never heard of that before.
Right. When Bishop Pella was the bishop, and maybe even right before he was the bishop, the previous bishop, he was a cardinal, Cardinal Hickey, established this model of ministry where priests and sisters could work together. So there was always a moderator of the pastoral team, which was the canonical pastor. But the model dictated that everybody understood that we would do our best to work in a collaborative model. So if there was something that we couldn't work out as a team of people and there's somebody needed to step in, there was a canonical pastor to the parish.
Okay.
But the rest of us just sort of did our best to, you know, work together, understanding that different people have different gifts. One had to be invited to a pastoral team. So Father John Singler, who was on the team already at St. Mary Magdalene, wrote me and then asked if I would consider joining. So I think, you know, when you're working in a kitchen, working in a dining room, in a club setting, there is a lot of collaboration. Everything has to kind of work together. So I was really excited about that opportunity. I was ordained when I was 30 years old. My first pastor was Father Mark Carlos at St. Francis Xavier Medina. And while it was not an official pastoral team, Father Hollis had a great collaborative spirit about him. We definitely knew if he felt strongly about something, that's what we were going to do. But he also allowed us to minister together and to use our gifts. So I was really excited as a 35-year-old going to St. Mary Magdalene and knowing that I could, I guess, have some influence over leadership and the direction. Sometimes I think that parochial vicars can be a little frustrated as they, it's probably less so now because they're made pastors so much quicker.
Really, yeah.
You know, you want to exude some influence, and a pastoral team certainly allowed me to do that in the areas where I was responsible, that I could make something my own in a very quick fashion, really.
Sure. Well, Father O'Connor, when he left, was his own choosing and wrote a letter to the bishop, I know.
Right.
You're coming home. What was that like?
I was really, really surprised and excited that I was named pastor. You know, so Bishop Lennon, that was his responsibility. So I was grateful to him for the opportunity. I really felt like I was ready. You know, I had been at St. Mary Magdalene for 16 years and had a lot to do with Bishop Pilla's Vibrant Parish Life Initiative, both in its inception and then in the second iteration of it, which was Vibrant Parish Life 2, which was, again, sort of reorganizing the diocese. And during that time, I felt usually the normal stay for a pastoral team member was around 12 years. But there, during that reorganization, there was really no place for me to, didn't really want to leave just to leave. I loved being at St. Mary Magdalene. But when parishes began to open up in the West, I was actually looking at St. Luke's, where Father Walsh was scheduled to retire. So it was announced 6 months ahead, applying there. And then Father O'Connor decided that he wanted to move on after being at St. Joseph for 18 years, which is a beautiful time to be a pastor. That's a great length. So when I was applied and was named pastor, I was really very excited. A little nervous. I think I would always be nervous, though. I mean, I want to do a good job. I want to make a good impression, and you don't know what people are going to think. You know, that there's that gospel we just heard, that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. So I felt like I was away long enough that I could succeed, that people are not going to think about me as a high schooler any longer. But but there was a little nervousness.
Oh, I can imagine, sure. Your skills, as I mentioned earlier, of hospitality have been used to a great extent.
Right.
Food is, I wouldn't say a large part, but fairly large part,
sure,
of your ministry there with Sunday meals to go, suppers to go, or the fish fries and breakfasts.
Right.
And they're not, it's not a coffee and donuts.
Right.
It's a nice breakfast, and people are talking and socializing, and you can feel the presence of Jesus in that. Is that?
Yeah.
I don't think that was by accident. I think
that's
your plan.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you think about the legacy that Jesus left us as a perpetual memorial was a meal. It does really fit well into my training. When I first got to St. Joseph Parish, a friend of my brother Russell's, who's also a painter, Bob Schuler, I was at Donuts with Dads, and he asked me, Father Ron, can we start fish fries at our church? And, you know, without hesitation, you know, because I know what it takes to do that, I said yes. So I do think the nice thing about hospitality is it brings people together that aren't necessarily worshiping together. So from other masses, other pews at their masses, and also the camaraderie of the group. You know, I know that you volunteer and you appreciate the camaraderie of just the many volunteers that come together. So it's a blessing that, and we have such a great facility at St. Joseph, thanks to Father O'Connor. It's beautiful. It's all connected. So I think all those pieces come together, make for a vibrant parish that we really look to hospitality as one of the things that we do well.
One thing I notice out there is I've heard you use the term food for the soul.
Right.
Not just parish stuff. You reach out quite a bit. Lots right. of meals out at the St. Elizabeth Center and at Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Out at Francis Cabrini, I think it is.
Right. Yeah. That was our service location for Thanksgiving. So.
And people readily embrace that.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, we have every week we serve some sort of meal at St. Elizabeth Center, whether it be a lunch, a dinner, or a breakfast. And I'm glad that we have the facilities to be able to make a meal for 80 people without any trouble at all.
Not one, but two kitchens.
That's right.
And they're busy a good part of the day.
Right, for sure.
For certain things. Stay right there, Father. We're going to be back with Father Ron Wersch right after these messages. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Welcome back. We're here every week at this time. We hope you'll join us every week at this time. Father Ron Wersch joining us from St. Joseph's in Avon Lake. Father, I was going to ask you a question. How do you find time in your day? Because the other way to ask that question is you're going to have to add more pages to the bulletin.
I know.
That bulletin is getting like the phone book.
I know. It is pretty
which
big.
Is a blessing.
It is. You know, especially during Lent, we try to provide additional spiritual experiences for our people. So there is a lot going on and a lot of organization around those things. But yeah, we do a lot. And, you know, as you know, Paul, I've been, I went back to school at John Carroll for a certificate in Ignatian spiritual direction. John Carroll is part of their mission, offers an institute for Ignatian spirituality. So we've been trying to a couple different things to try to have people have a deeper encounter with the Lord. So part of our plan for missionary discipleship is, as you know, those four key words, encounter, accompany, community, and send. Community works best when they are committed and have a committed relationship to Jesus. Growth in our spiritual lives, I think, is a very important aspect of that. And whether it be someone's encounter with one of us, like in our now our summer parish festival or at a fish fry, or whether it be someone that we're serving a meal to at St. Elizabeth Center, which is the Catholic Charities Shelter in Lorraine, or in any of their surrounding areas of Lorraine, I do think it's really important that they know that somehow they're meeting Jesus. So when we were in person serving meals inside the shelter, which has been kind of thwarted with COVID, you know, I always prayed when I led the mealtime prayer, which was always my favorite part was the service part. I mean, I love the cooking part, but also serving the meal, was that the men there, and sometimes on a Wednesday night, the families that were there, because it's a community meal, that they knew they were loved by Jesus, by the care through which we made that meal. And I think that that's a very important part. So, and, you know, those details don't stress me out, you know, because I've had so much training and experience in food service that, you know, it's really just a joy for me to bring all those things together. But again, I think that those are not the end. Those are just touchstones. And then hopefully by meeting someone in the community, then a relationship can be formed, which is that notion of accompaniment leading to Sunday Mass. The sacraments is the greatest place that we have an encounter with the Lord in community, and then send out on mission. So, you know, we're always working at programs that help to foster, develop in each one of those areas.
Well, there are a whole lot of unchurched Catholics out there, and maybe you relight
right.
the spark
right.
No, with a fish fry, with a festival, whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah, because it's meeting somebody, I think, that loves God and then is able to share that love really through acts of service. Like in my family, it's not like my mom and dad every day talked about Jesus, but they talked about having a good moral life, doing the right thing, making right decisions, treating others like we want to be treated. There were members of my dad's family that had some developmental disabilities that were like my dad's age, that my parents always taught us that we have to be respectful, don't poke fun at people. You know, they didn't say because Jesus asked us to, but you knew, mm-hmm. we knew because we went to church every Sunday that this was a part that we lived our faith. And I think that it is important to help people to express that belief in a good and loving God through everyday ways. It doesn't have to be just at church.
I sometimes think it's a family affair. Your sister cooks from time to time. Your brother coordinates a lot of the some of the programming, and his wife as well. But it's not just the Wersch family. It feels like a family there.
I can't describe it.
It just feels like a family.
Yes.
The breakfast crew or the usher crew or the whatever it might be. People like being there. They enjoy it.
Right. No, for sure. And, people ask me how we do all the things we do. It's because of the great parishioners we have and the volunteer base. And I think that genuinely people laugh at me that, I'll ask them, they'll do it. But they do it because they think they love doing it with other people who love to do it. Mm-hmm. And as you know, some of those events are a lot of work, but when we do it together and there's a sense of accomplishment doing it, it's very life-giving. And I think that that's why people come back, is because they're nourished by it.
When I volunteered for the fish fries, your brother Russ said, I want to be in the back. I don't want to be out front. And he said, can you cook? I said, no, not really. He said, I got the perfect job for you. Break up the cardboard. And I've been doing it ever since. I've been doing it ever since.
I know. I pray for that God sends Paul sometimes when our boxes are stacked up.
The pile gets real big.
I know. We pay for a recycle bin at our church because I feel it's important to recycle. So Paul's really good about making the boxes as small as possible so the bin doesn't get filled up too fast.
Well, not a lot of time left, but you had something that hit me a couple of Sundays ago about the real presence of Christ, and some people don't believe that anymore. You talk about he's here with us, he's here, and do you remember that homily?
Sure, I do. I do. I think the doxology after the Eucharist, before the Great Amen, through him, with him, and in him, in a unity of the Holy Spirit, I think that it summarizes what we just experienced with the consecration. And the presence of Christ, which is God's gift to us, being present. And again, I think that we need to realize that in so many ways, we have the opportunity to bring Christ to life. What we do in church leads us to our home church, and then what we do in our home church leads us back to our parish church, where we can be invigorated again by Jesus's presence in the Word and in his body and blood. Everything we need to do needs to be in and through the Christ who is risen from the dead.
Well, this timing is not coincidental. Our fish fries start next Friday.
Right.
And it's delicious. Voted number one in the diocese.
I know.
Which was a nice perk.
Yeah, it sure was.
And then it's not, it's not just fish. You have a couple special items on there.
Yes.
The salmon's very popular as well. But so I had to work that plug in there for sure.
Right.
But
yeah,
if people want more information, stjosephsavonlake.com.
.org.
.org, that's right.
Yep, St. Joseph or St. St. Joseph Avonlake.org.
The year of St. Joseph was kind of special too out there for us.
It was, yeah.
Doing the litany, and it was nice.
Right. And I notice here in the studio there is an image of Joseph, the terror of demons, which I purchased for the staff for Christmas presents. So I love that image of St. Joseph and really the great fatherly image and the person that he was that I'm trying to aspire to more and more.
Father, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Paul.
I appreciate it. Father Ron Wersch joining us, St. Joseph's Avon Lake. We hope you'll join us every week. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.